Welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
Going good, actually. Had a pretty good week, personally. So that's always nice. I know it's only Wednesday, but, well, it'll be Thursday tomorrow. Wednesday's pretty much gone, but yeah, a pretty good week so far, some of which I'll reference in the housekeeping section. What have you been playing this week, or up to this week?
Well, the 2.0 Into the Storm update came out on the full version for 7 Days to Die. For those people that don't know, 7 Days to Die is a half zombie game, half building survival game. You basically start off buck-ass naked, and then you have to survive in the wilderness, and there's multiple biomes for the game because there's wilderness, there's desert, there's the burnt forest, the tundra, and the wasteland. And it's called 7 Days to Die because every 7 days, the game sends a giant fuck you wave of zombies out to end your existence. It's been around forever.
And
when I say forever, I mean forever, forever and ever, because this is 2.0 full release, but it started back. I'm just pulling the Steam page up now. I can never remember when this game first launched. They updated it to the 2.0 because it's saying a release date is July last year, which is not the case. It goes roughly back to 2009. And they made the big update is they made a lot of changes to the gameplay. Mm-hmm. It's called Into the Storm because if you're not in the forest biome, which is your starting area, there'll be random storms that'll just eat away at your health, and you can't just go to the biome and chillax and do whatever you want. You have to finish enough quests to prove that you can survive in that biome, otherwise it'll try to kill you. Like, so if you go into the burnt forest, the screen will dim out and says you find it hard to breathe, and then you're on like a 3-minute timer. But then once you complete all the quests, you get a badge, and that goes away. The same with all the other biomes.
I see.
And it's one of those games, I call it a catch-up game, because if I want to watch like binge a show or something like that, I can fire it up on my computer and put the show or whatever on the second monitor and put about 65% of my attention on that, and then the game on the second monitor, so I can really like split my attention mm-hmm. on that, except during the horde nights, because you do not want to not pay attention during that.
Nice. So when you say it like throws loads and loads of zombies at you at the end, obviously you can kind of like, I guess, fend them off a bit first. Is it like a guaranteed you will just get overwhelmed no matter what after like a certain period of time? Is there like no
loophole, part of the strategy is building a horde base. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Some people build what they call an AFK base, to where you don't have to, you can just plop your character down and the base itself will have enough defense. Like, you can build traps and there's equipment you can get to where it'll attack them for you. So you can put up like turrets and automated sledgehammers and live mm-hmm. wire traps and things like that. Or you can just go hog wild and just funnel them all into one area.
Oh, cool.
And have like a killing alley, you know, for you know, for weapons and guns, and basically recreate the Battle of Thermopylae, but with concrete blocks and a 50-foot fall, or however tall you build the base. Nice. And then eventually the game, at more and more hordes, more and more powerful zombies will come out. Some spit acid, some explode, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. Yeah. There's birds that are stupid and wreck your world, and evil dogs and werewolves and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, okay. Making sure then, I
Oh yeah.
suppose. Yeah. Sorry if you heard, if any of you heard me laugh kind of away from the mic a bit there. My neighbor just made a very strange sound, but I want to move on and not think about it. I wanted to address it, but not think about it because I don't want to laugh at it anymore. I just kind of heard it in the background. Anyway, I've actually not really played anything this week. As you'll see in a minute, I've watched a couple of films, I've been sorting out some stuff. Just doing other things really kind of this week. I'm waiting to be sent my next game. I have been sent. Now some of you might think, Matt, why are you gonna try and play this game? But curiosity killed the cat or whatever they say. I don't know how that relates to me. I just that's just a phrase that I know, so I'm just saying it. I've been sent Mind's Eye on Xbox. I'm just curious to see what state it's in. I've seen videos, I've seen people talking about it, I've seen the review, the refund requests and all that. I've seen all of that, but it was a game I was curious about when it first got announced, so what more can I do than give it my own first hand try, I suppose. Is it going to be a case that I play it for an hour and then stop and then send it back, but then I can talk about that hour? I don't know, we'll see. Or maybe it works well for me and I like it. Who knows? I can't tell you what will happen before that
I
happens,
don't
but
remember. Is that like a live service game or no?
that was the like GTA-esque tech game, which was actually from former Rockstar devs. But there was a bit of a problem. There's a problem with the general state of the game, but there was also a problem with like it being kind of just move, shoot, explode things, move, shoot, explode things. It didn't seem like there was a lot of like hacking or watchdog type stuff or cyberpunk type stuff. It seemed from the way people were talking about it when it came out that it was a bit more of a basic version of itself, but again I want to try it out and see what it's like. But that's the
I was
good
just curious if there was like a an online component where you needed people actively playing the game to play it.
okay.
Kind of
No,
like
I don't think
Marvel
it has that.
Rivals or something like that.
Yeah, no, I don't think it has that. So if it did, it might end up more broken than what it apparently is. So, but I'm gonna give that a little bit of a try. But that's the good thing about my rental thing is I can install it, play it for as little or as long as I want, and then if it's no good or if I finish it, just send it back and move on. So, which is very good for it's very good for sampling games as well. Like, I would genuinely really hate to. Let's say I pre-ordered it or something, and like. Couldn't get a refund, and it's like in a really horrible state or something. Although I remember, I think it was PlayStation and a few other platforms. Like, yeah, we'll let you refund this game. So we'll see what that's like. And because the two games I'm waiting to play next is Expedition 33 and Death Stranding, but I'm waiting to be sent those. So played some like COD here and there, had some good fun with some people. So yeah, that was fun. But yeah, anyway, we got a whole bunch of. I like to kind of balance the show with like, if I don't have much to talk about and we have loads of news, then don't dwell on the talking on games part, I suppose. Anyway, yeah, we have a bunch of news to get into, including some very big things that came out today from both of our sides of stories, and also talk about some housekeeping. So let's talk about housekeeping next. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right-hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, so as is the case with Wednesdays, there's a new refreshed Breaking Bad podcast for you all. This is up to now Season 3, Episode 7. I think there's about 5 left for me to put out. All scheduled, all seem to be coming out and all that. It appears on the site, it appears on the podcast platforms. So that again is going to run out till roughly when David comes back from holiday, and then we'll be starting Season 4. So if you want a bit of jumping on point, you can catch up with, well, watch the whole show anyway, obviously, but you can catch up to where we sort of are releasing the weekly ones for Season 3, Episode 7 so far. I just remembered which episode that actually is, because those actual podcasts are a couple of years old, but due to the issue we had on the site, I'm sort of putting the working versions out of those podcasts. It's the episode called 1 Minute. I remember what happens in that episode. It's a really, really, really good one. I mean, they're all good because they're Breaking Bad episodes, but there's ones that particularly stick out. So, yeah, for anybody who is, and we seem to be getting very good numbers on the refreshed episodes, so thank you to everybody who is listening to them. If you haven't, like, got round to your weekly watch the episode, then listen to it. This one's, like, a really, really big one. So, enjoy that, I suppose. That's Breaking Bad. Over on the film review side of things, yesterday I went to see 28 Years Later, written and directed by Danny Boyle and Alex Garland, who have returned to the helm of writing and directing with those. It's going to get a sequel in 6 months, apparently in about January. We'll see if there's any delays or whatever. I really, really loved it for certain particular reasons. There's lots of good stuff going on in that film, particularly the train sequence, which I'm still thinking about. So that was really, really excellent. clearly sets itself up for a sequel, so yeah, thoroughly enjoyed that. Gave that a strong must-see rating. Over on some films that are coming soon, because we're about to get the big bunch of 3 July films, which is Jurassic World, Fantastic Four, and Superman, but not in that order. I haven't and won't be doing a preview for Jurassic World, plus it comes out, I think it's out now anyway, isn't it? So I won't be doing a preview for that, but I did do a preview podcast for Fantastic Four First Steps, so gave a few little predictions, talked about my actual knowledge of Fantastic Four, which is a lot less than you might think, and my sort of history with it, so I talked about all that, how I'm feeling about the film. I also did do recently a preview for Superman as well, so you can check both of those out if you're looking forward to those films. I will be reviewing each 3 films, I just wasn't doing a preview for Jurassic World, so you can check that out. Over on the Pixar side of things, going very much under the radar, unfortunately, I gave a strong must-see rating to Elio, the latest film from Pixar, doing just all the normal stuff that they do really, really excellently. Lots of heart in that film, and it's really, really fantastic. So there's a lot of stuff in there that I really liked, so you can check that one out. Also, by the way, yeah, the film exists, by the way, and it's out, because, as I said on the podcast, there's, like, 8 different friends I talked to in the last 2 weeks, and they go, hey, what are you doing, you know, next, you know, the weekend? Oh, I'm going to see Elio. And they literally said, they didn't say, oh, I'm not sure what that is. They said, what is that? So if you're looking at that film's box office and going, hey, why is no one seeing this film? Well, apparently a lot of people don't even know it exists. So this is your notice that Elio exists, because the marketing's been so bad. So if you want to go and see Pixar's latest film, go and do it before it disappears from the box office. Anyway, over on the July 2025 chat podcast, I did a mental health update. Not going to talk about that here, because I've already talked about it over there, so you can check that out. Over on Gaming Talk last week, we talked about GTA and some rumors. We've got some more of those this week. We talked about the Black Panther game that was cancelled. There were some more details that snuck out about it, and also did some predictions for the new Astrobot bots, and talked all about all of that. Over on the other Pixar stuff, back in March, I think it was, we had Win or Lose, which is a limited series based on, like, I think it's baseball team, so gave that a strong must-see rating. That was recently. And over on The Last of Us, which we'll be talking about again in a minute, the second game turned 5 and the first game turned 12, so I did separate podcasts for those, talking about all of that. And that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's move into some news. All right, let's get into some news. So, as can tend to happen in this day and age, because I don't know if a lot of you noticed, we live in a very, very heated time. Everybody's moaning at each other, people are trying to kill each other, all hell's kind of breaking loose in lots of different ways, shapes, and forms. Thankfully, in this particular story, in this particular case, nobody did die, which is good. But comments were made about things, and the internet was set ablaze, which is very easy to do. The internet, if you haven't noticed, is extremely flammable. I was going to originally talk. I'm still going to talk about the first thing because I have it noted down anyway. We have a Naughty Dog slash HBO Last of Us update. So, the headline story, because I will be reading out both quotes, and then there's a third thing which is slightly separate but still related. Neil Druckmann and Halle Gross, who are the directors of The Last of Us Part 2, the game, and co-wrote some episodes alongside Craig Mazin for season 2 and season 1 of The Last of Us. Halle Gross and Neil Druckmann have stepped down from writing duties on The Last of Us season 3, which isn't going to be here for about another 2 years anyway. Of course, they wrote episodes together on season 1 and 2. Both of them wrote and basically like co-directed with each other the second game. Halle wasn't involved in the first game, but that was back in 2013, so a long time ago. This quote, I want to make sure I have the right ones, the right person's quote first. Right, so this is Neil Druckmann's quote. It says, "To our Naughty Dog community," sorry, this is the post from Naughty Dog, and then it references his quote. "So to our Naughty Dog community, we wanted to let you know that studio head Neil Druckmann delivered the following message to our team this morning." So this is the actual quote from him. "I've made the difficult decision to step away from my creative involvement in The Last of Us on HBO. With work completed on season 2," obviously season 2 has come and gone and aired and everybody's talked about it, "and before any meaningful work starts on season 3, now is the right time for me to transition my complete focus to Naughty Dog and its future projects, including writing and directing our exciting next game, Intergalactic: The Heretic Prophet, along with my responsibilities as studio head and head of created. Co-creating the show has been a career highlight. It's been an honor to work alongside Craig Mazin to executive produce, direct, and write on the last 2 seasons, so seasons 1 and 2. I'm deeply thankful for the thoughtful approach and dedication the talented cast and crew took to adapting The Last of Us Part 1 and the continued adaption of The Last of Us Part 2, because of course not all of that has been adapted yet. There's going to be at least one more season, if not maybe two, so up to season 4 possibly." So that's Neil Druckmann's quote. Let's move on to, I will talk about them both separately, but let's talk about Halle Gross's quote as well. She says, "With great care and consideration, I've decided to take a step back from my day-to-day work on HBO's The Last of Us to make space for what comes next. I'm so appreciative of how special this experience has been. Working alongside Neil, Craig, HBO, and this remarkable cast and crew has been life-changing. The stories we told about love, loss, and what it means to be human in a terrifying world are exactly why I love this franchise. I have some truly rad projects ahead that I can't wait to share. But for now, I want to express my gratitude to everyone who brought Ellie and Joel's world to life with such care." Right. So of course, again, internet's very flammable. And everybody freaked out. Season 3's dead, everybody said. You know, all of those sorts of comments are happening. There was literally only a few comments I saw that said, like, maybe this isn't some sort of crisis. Because sometimes in life you have to look at news that you consider bad, if you actually consider this to be bad news. And sometimes you have to take a step back. You have to take a breath. I think all of us could just take a breath now and again. Because, again, the just state of the world that we're living in. Just take a breath, think about stuff in a more calm way. That's nowhere near as easy as I've just described, and I know that all too well. And just try to think a bit more. But a lot of us in this day and age don't think before we speak, unfortunately. So how do I feel about this? Many of you may have seen this and kind of wondered how I felt about it, because as soon as these quotes came out, it was just spread everywhere very, very quickly, this news. I am disappointed by that. I'm not gonna lie. I've always said that no matter what I do in terms of a podcast, whether it's going on Geek Town, going on anybody else's podcast, or obviously doing lots of work on here, I'm never ever gonna lie to any of you, and I'm always gonna be completely honest, because what's the point in me going onto a podcast and lying about how I feel about something? That doesn't benefit me, that doesn't benefit you, and it would involve me not telling the truth. Because I, you know, be forgiven for thinking, like, you know, the amount of times I've talked about Last of Us and how much I've talked about it in a glowing sense, and I would understand if someone listened to the way I talked about it and called me a fanboy, for example. That's just an example. That would be fair. I wouldn't say that you're wrong about that. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of all of it, and obviously the work that these three people have done, Hallie, Neil, and Craig. I also really enjoyed Craig's Chernobyl as well. Completely unrelated to Last of Us, but I really enjoyed that as well. But if I just came on here and said, oh, this is fine, this is like no problem at all, that would be me lying to you. So I just want to kind of like, you know, this is big news and I don't want to come across in a way that I don't mean to. It's also disappointing because that feels strange. That feels like a strange thing to have read, which I have just read those things. So that's my, there's a difference between what I think of this and how I actually, like, how I think this is going to go and how I feel about this. To me, those are two kind of different things. So I'm disappointed by that, but I can't tell you yet what that means because I haven't seen a single frame or trailer of season 3, right? I can tell you what I think might happen in season 3. I could probably sit here for a good hour or so and tell you what I think is going to happen in season 3. I've already done some of that. So that it feels very strange, and it doesn't feel right. It doesn't kind of, yeah, it feels odd at the moment. So again, if I sat here and said, "Oh, I'm not bothered by it at all," then I would be lying to you. Which again is never my aim. Nobody apart from the people who are actually working on this show and, you know, have probably planned ahead because they've already teased a bunch of stuff for the rest of the story. Obviously, the creatives know what the rest of the story is up until the end of part 2. So I assume those conversations have happened. In terms of what this actually means, though, I don't think this is a case of, like, for Neil particularly. I know, obviously, Hallie played a very, very big part in this. Obviously, she co-wrote the, you know, game, second game. But you would look at it and go, okay, Neil is the sort of main brain behind the whole thing. There's lots of other people to credit, but he's kind of the main guy, right? I don't see this as kind of, oh, Neil's going to sit in a room, completely ignore any and all conversations around the development and filming of Last of Us, and just let everybody else get on with it. I'm very, very sure that, because obviously Craig Mazin is going to be the main writer on this thing now. If Craig comes across something, or there's a problem with something, or questions about something, obviously he's going to consult Neil and or Hallie about a particular thing. Just, like, you know, shoot a question at him, like, hey, this bit's coming up, I want to do it this way or this way, what do you think? I'm sure those conversations have probably already happened anyway. So just because, okay, Neil's not going to be writing any episodes for the third season, and I assume that would mean the fourth season as well, if they get greenlit for that, I don't think that means that Neil's going to, like, have no idea what's going on in the production. So that's kind of, so I don't know yet how good or bad that's going to be. Do I trust Craig Mazin to do great work on this? You have to remember he did still either solo write or co-write every single episode so far of the show. So it's not like Neil did, you know, all of it on his own. We were talking at the end of season 2 about, like, the way blame gets pointed at different people, and how, I'll tell you one thing that's strange about the criticism of this, because some people weren't happy about some things in season 2, I'm not going to sit here and explain all of them, things that I wasn't bothered by, but things that other people were bothered by, because Craig was kind of listed as sort of the main writer, and whenever something went wrong, in quotes, the people who were annoyed about it pointed at Craig and went, right, this is your fault. So if you're somebody who is in that camp, and you're all entitled to your opinion, if you think that they did something wrong in season 2 or whatever, and you weren't happy about it, that's, you know, entirely your opinion. But what doesn't make sense to me, connecting that to this, is, so if you are someone who had some problems with season two and you were all mainly pointing, because no, nobody in season two, when something went wrong, at least to them, pointed the finger at Neil or Hallie. Everybody pointed the finger at Craig. So for everyone today going like, oh, this means season three is dead, the main person that you've pointed at to be the problem in quotes is not the one who's just announced that they're leaving. So how will that make the third season worse? Like, if you think the person who is the problem anyway is still there, and the person that you weren't now pointing as the problem has walked away, or whatever that exactly means, that doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, but again, he's at least had a hand. I mean, he's the showrunner, and so it's not like Craig doesn't know what he's doing. You know, it's just a case that, okay, Neil won't be writing because people seem to forget, like, okay, Neil's not a TV person. Neither is Hallie. Craig is the TV. That's why, at least from what I believe, that's why they brought him in the first place, because, like, okay, we're doing this for TV now, not for games, so let's bring a TV person in. But some people seem to forget that Neil's got basically a studio to run and a game to write and direct. Like, that's, even those things themselves are a lot of work, so maybe that's why this has happened. Hallie also is going to be starring in Intergalactic. We see her in a bit of the trailer. I don't know how big her role will be, but she's doing that. And there's always going to be other stuff that Naughty Dog is working on that we don't even know about yet. So we don't know Hallie's involvement in that, and obviously Neil's going to be involved in those things anyway. So I'm not looking at this and seeing this as a problem. I'm again still seeing it as a weird thing. That's a strange. It doesn't feel right. But I won't know what it looks like until we actually get more of season three. I know you're not kind of in these circles and stuff and that sort of thing, but what do you think of this general thing that's happening here?
Well, when those two people that are that high up in the original creation of the game leave, means either one of two things. They're just too busy and it's taking up too much time, or they're getting forced by the studio to go in a direction they don't want to go. And we won't really know which one of those is even close to even having a chance to being true or not until season three comes out and we see what the script is and what everything else is. Past that, people leave projects all the time for whatever reason. It happens.
It does indeed. But yes, that does indeed happen all the time. But just on the first point that you mentioned there, because again, you could look at that and say, okay, creative differences, we won't really know what that means until the third season comes around, which we probably won't even get a trailer till next year, so it's going to be a while before we find out anything. But even on the, because I obviously listen to the official podcast where they talk about each episode and how they got to certain, choices and that sort of thing, it's very, very, very clear that the three of them have had multiple conversations about not just the episodes that they're working on, but future episodes. So, like, I can't look at this and go like, oh, Craig has no idea what would have no idea what to do for season three and four, because they've clearly talked about that already. Because they even give a lot of, hints as to like, hey, this thing popped up. We'll get, there's a nice kind of like tease thing. They've done that loads of times. So, and again, it's not like one of them can't message the other or call the other if they want to consult one of them on something. It's not like sort of, hey, I'm never talking to Craig again. He's completely on his own. Good luck. So, that's my that's my feelings on that. Yeah, and we'll just it's going to be a wait and see for a while, but we'll just have to wait and see how all that turns out. Sticking with Naughty Dog for a minute, but kind of switching gears. This can be more in the fun speculation camp because people are having a lot more fun speculating what this means, what it is, and of course that's what we do as fans. We over-speculate, sometimes leading to nothing, but sometimes leading to something. So Isabella Merced, who played Dina in season two of The Last of Us and did a phenomenal job, and of course I'm waiting to, looking forward to seeing what she does in season three, is pictured with Neil Druckmann at Naughty Dog Studios in LA. And it simply says, got to show off some of the stuff we're cooking to the unstoppable Isabella Merced, Druckmann said, via Instagram. And people kind of wondered, okay, is this Last of Us Part 3? Is it a new game? Is it a show? Is she going to be in the show? Is she going to be in Intergalactic? Is she going to be in something else? Or was it simply just, for some reason, maybe she was in town, they were talking, and she popped by? There could be 10 different reasons why she was in that office, and we might not know, we might not ever know, to be fair. Maybe they just were in the area together and they had lunch together, and then during the lunch hour or whatever, he showed her something that they're working on. I assume something that he's allowed to show her, but then he's a head of the studio. So yeah, maybe it's something to do with that. So what do I think this could be? It could be a myriad of things. It doesn't feel... Okay, do I think this actually means that she's involved with something other than her role currently in the show? I think it could be. Part of me is wondering, because I don't think this would be to do with... Because, of course, like, at the moment now, anytime any Naughty Dog conversations come up, it's like, oh, Last of Us Part 3, and it's like, okay, that's probably a few years away, yeah. He's got another game to ship before we probably even see Last of Us Part 3. Could mean that she's in Intergalactic. I mean, we've seen there's a bit of a star-studded cast in there. You do have, of course, the main person in there. Then you've got Halle Gross, who's in there. You've got Kumail Nanjiani is his name, I think. And then you've also got Tony Dalton, who we think is in the game as well as probably a few other people. So maybe she slotted into a role in there. It could be that she is part of a game that's yet to be announced. Could be Uncharted-based. We already know there's a little bit of crossover between actors in Last of Us and in Uncharted, so that's happened before. But I, as a fan of all of this area of this thing, I would like to think this was more than just she popped by for a chat about something, or who knows, maybe it was a chat about Season 3. Maybe it was a chat about something else. Who knows what it might be. Anyway, Robert, what do you think this... Did you think this was just, you know, clearly they're friends and that? Do you think it was just friends meeting up? Or do you think there was work involved here? I can't hear you. For some reason.
Yeah, sorry, my mic was off.
Okay.
Can you repeat the last question, please?
Yeah. So do you think this is just two friends meeting up, having a chat, or do you think that there was work involved here?
I think possibly work. She might be doing a voice for Intergalactic for an unannounced character as of yet. Or just a voice for general, because they do need you know, NPC voices, and that's a fun Easter egg. Some people like to hide in.
Yeah.
If you remember the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, they hid in Nathan Fillion and Matthew McConaughey in the army of Deadpool.
I think it did. Yeah. There was a lot of people in there. So that was very cool. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. And if it was them, you know, not working on something, then they may have just had a chat. I mean, I don't know, like, where they both live, how far they are from the studio or whatever they were actually doing during the day. So there we go. I just want to go back a second, actually. I meant to say this a minute ago. So in Halle's statement she made, there's something I really, really like in here. She said, the stories we told about love, loss, and what it means to be human in a terrifying world are exactly why I love this franchise. So she's talking about Last of Us. I think that's just a perfect way to put that. And that was, if someone says, without me giving an answer that's an hour long, if someone says, why do you like The Last of Us, which, again, that answer could be an hour long, that's just a very good summary. The stories we told about love, loss, and what it means to be human, because it's all about, like, the human condition and things like that in a terrifying world, exactly why I love this franchise. Just wanted to kind of point that out as something I liked. Let's move on to a different studio. Speaking of Naughty Dog, which I mentioned earlier, where did my thing go? There it is. If we scroll down, we talked about some big rumor stuff regarding, like, the three attempts at rebooting GTA 6. Again, they may or may not be true, just to make that very clear. It was just a thing I saw online, and I thought it would be cool to discuss it. And there we go. I've got two other ones, though. These are very kind of different aimed. So I've got two pictures here. This is coming from apparently a leaker who knows some things about GTA 6. So there's two different parts here. One is about things the game will include and the game won't include again. Just to be clear, because we try not to do clickbaity stuff and everything else like that, which I want to mention something about that in a second. These are all rumors. This does not mean I'm reading out what is and is not in GTA 6, because I don't know what is and is not in the game apart from the two main characters. So this is apparently what the game will not include. A GTA 6 leaker has claimed the game will not include listening to music outside of cars, prone movement, dual wielding weapons, Disney World parody, and a burglary minigame. So which ones of these do I think are correct? Listening to music outside of cars. I'm going to take that as specifically you control one of the two characters and like listen to music on your phone, because you're probably going to walk around areas and hear music, and there's probably going to be music in the game. So I wouldn't count that as being that. But listening to music outside of cars, I don't know why that wouldn't be in the game, but yeah, because you're probably going to be listening to music in the cars. There'll be the radio, and you know, that's a classic GTA thing. So I don't think that first one is correct. I don't see why you wouldn't. And given how much this is probably going to reflect today's day and age, and especially with, you know, the social media stuff that's probably going to be in that game, and music and TikTok videos and all that sort of stuff, I can't imagine, and probably how much your character is going to use their phone, which I think was first introduced in GTA 4. It was like, you know, you call the characters and stuff like that. And you take photos and stuff. I wouldn't imagine that wouldn't be in the game, because I imagine phones, because, you know, we're all glued to our phones, wouldn't be in that. So I'm going to say I don't think that one's correct. Prone movement, I don't know why that wouldn't be in the game. So that's not crouch. Obviously, prone is when you completely lay on the floor. I don't think the other GTA games had that. I think you could crouch and like do stealth sections in at least the last two games, four and five, but I don't know why you wouldn't be able to do prone movement, so I don't think that's true. Dual wielding weapons. I don't know why that wouldn't be in it either. Maybe it's you possibly aim them a different way. So like in COD, for example, you can do akimbo, which is two guns with certain guns. And the only thing that you can't do is like aim down sights with them, because usually with COD you aim with L2, shoot with R2, so the left and right thing. But then if you have two weapons, you just have the crosshair. You can't look down sights. But then you just use, you know, L2 for the left one, R2 for the right one. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to do that in this game. At least from like if that worked the same way. So I'm gonna say I don't think that's correct. Disney World parody. I don't think that would be in the game. There might be, I would assume there'd be modern day references to, you know, corporate stuff and companies, and the game's probably going to be covered with that sort of stuff, right? If you're talking, not specifically politics, but kind of, like for example, you mentioned Deadpool and Wolverine, like when he goes, you know, screw you, Fox, I'm going to Disneyland, that's not an inherently political thing per se, it's just making fun of something, plus the fact of like, you know, the Fox history with the Marvel films and all that.
Well, that's also a joke, because for the longest time, whoever won most valuable player for the Super Bowl, one of the things they got paid for was someone would come up with a camera in their face and said, "Hey, you just won the Super Bowl, what are you doing now?" And they say, "I'm going to Disney World." And that's been a thing like 40 years,
a long time
at least.
Yeah.
And they get paid for it, obviously. But so that's like kind of like a weird little reference to that, most likely.
So Disney World parody, I think there will be, you know, corporate poking and political poking and things like that. I mean, obviously GTA 6 is going to be political, because it's going to be, and it will do it in a satire way. We all know that. And yes, I think a game like GTA should do what The Boys does, but better, which is, okay, we're going to poke at everybody, which I think is the fairer way to do it. If you're going to do like a parody-based thing, which isn't one of The Boys' strengths, but I think it will do that, but I don't know why it would specifically need to be Disney. So I'm going to say that will be in the game, but I don't think it will be Disney based. And in the burglary mini game, do I think it won't include a burglary mini game? Depends what exactly that means, because I think, not that I did it that many times, but I'm pretty sure you can like go into a general store or something, and you can like point your gun at the cashier, right? And they empty their till. They either empty their till or they point it, the gun at you and say like, "Hey, you gotta leave," or whatever. And I hope if they do something like that, they have the Red Dead system, which you know when you pointed at a random NPC and they would approach you, and you could either do your own action or you could talk back to them positively or negatively. I hope that they, because there's so many gameplay opportunities you could have with that sort of thing. I think it would make sense that it would. It just depends what this means by mini game, because the mechanic that I've just described, which is at least in the last game, I wouldn't describe as a mini game. That's just a sort of little interaction. It's a bit like when you go up to like the vending machine, you press triangle and you get a Coke out. It's not a mini game. It doesn't break out into a sequence. So I don't know that it has to be a mini game per se, but it can be an interaction. So I think that will be in there in some way, but just again, not as a mini game. Which of these, what do you think of these five things here? Do you want me to quickly recap them?
No, there's only really two I really need to talk about.
Yeah.
The music in and out of cars. I think that's more of a streamlining of gameplay than anything else because they had the smartphones in GTA 5
M4,
and the
yeah.
music was only in the cars. Granted, we unfortunately live in a world where people have zero self-awareness and they have zero consideration for other people. And they'll have their phones, no earbuds, on speakerphone,
Oh yeah.
talking to somebody,
Oh yeah.
blasting it out.
Yep.
And so it's probably just like one less thing
And
they
then they'll
gotta
moan
do.
at you when
One.
you look at them and they'll be like, "What am I doing?" And it's like you're being really noisy. I have a story I could tell about that actually. This was a few weeks ago. I was in a local town on the scooter and light went red because there's a bunch of red lights around the area that I was in, which annoys me, but that's not part of the story. Lights went red, so of course I stopped. There was people crossing the road, so that means they go and I don't. Light went green. And then I started trying to, go forward. Woman tries to cross the street, headphones on, phone in her hand, basically stuck to her face. No idea of anything that's going on around her. There could have been, thankfully, there wasn't any, big buses coming along. I think it was actually just me. And I started going forward a little bit and I thought, is she gonna notice? Is she gonna pay attention? Maybe I should have dinged. I have a bell on it. I don't really use it. Maybe I should have done that. But then if I'd rang the bell, would she have known or noticed or heard it? I don't know. I went past her and I was trying to gauge, like, because, okay, it is my turn to go and I'm not gonna run her over. Obviously, that would be ridiculous. But I noticed just as I got past her, she, like, kind of jumped out of her skin. And I wasn't like close to hitting her. I knew I wasn't going to because I know how to kind of gauge that. But it's like, well, you're the one in the wrong because I had the green and you had the red, which means I go and you don't. And you've got your head stuck in your phone with your headphones on, big headphones as well. So yeah, that can happen as well. What was the other one you wanted to point out?
The dual wielding, I don't see that as happening just because the range of weapons that you can have is so vast and most of them require two hands to use. It's like you're not doing the Kentucky rifle thing and you got, two semi-automatic 50 cals from and this you're like this super jacked guy that's like firing one in each hand, which physically, maybe 1% of 1% of the population could do. Definitely not the average person.
What about
I don't
just
know
like
if you're.
dual wielding pistols?
Yeah, I mean, you could, but that's one of those things that, yes, it's a video game, but it goes for more realism outside of the whole constantly getting shot thing.
Right.
And everything they've done with dual wielding shows that it, like, really tanks your accuracy. And, like all the testing that all the different places have done. I know they did a whole episode of Mythbusters just showing like the different, as seen in movies kind of a thing, and all of them are just terrible. Especially, if you know firearms, even like the tiniest little bit, that's way more dangerous because you're splitting focus on targets,
Sure.
and that's way more likely to have a stray bullet do something terrible.
Yep.
As for your story, back when I used to have the job where I drove a box truck, I was driving down the road. It was a city road. It wasn't like a highway or nothing. And there's just this woman on her phone, middle of the road, standing on the yellow lines. Because here in the States, sometimes there'll be like a divider medium, but mostly it's just paint lines. And she was standing on the yellow line in the middle of the road, just talking, waiting for the one direction, the direction she was not looking at me to clear so she could cross. And I really had to rein in my intrusive thoughts to not blast the air horn when I drove by her. Because my thought was like, oh, that's gonna scare the fuck out of her, and maybe she won't do that no more. And then my next thought was, there's a better than 50% chance she freaks out and staggers backwards and I run over her. So I better not do that.
Right, true. But yeah, as I went, because dinging the bell became kind of irrelevant, because when I went past her and I noticed the kind of, oh shit, what about, and it's like, yeah, pay, because what about if I was somebody different or worse, or something like that, or if I was a big bus or something. Anyway, but yeah, just note to everybody, just look where you're going. It's, this is what we should teach, kids, and you should learn it when you're a kid and not forget it. Look when you're crossing the road, because you don't want to get run over. So anyway, all right, so move on to the other one, which is a leaker has claimed that the game will have, it says, five total story chapters, fully explorable malls with hundreds of stores, a limited weapon wheel like Red Dead Redemption 2, the ability to control both main characters at the same time. Okay, so five total story chapters. So not missions, because a mission can take you 15 minutes or 20 minutes sometimes in a GTA game. So I'm imagining these are like, the big chapter points. That sounds reasonable. I mean, I'm gonna guess this is about, in terms of the single player, obviously you can muck about in the world, it's gonna be very much a sandbox. But in terms of the actual story parts, that sounds about right to me if you add that up to like a 15, 20-hour game, maybe. It depends on how much side stuff and whatever else you can do in the game. It might take you slightly longer to do that. Fully explorable malls with hundreds of stores. That's something that's been talked about in a GTA game for a long, long time. And while I don't know what the purpose of that would be, from a technological standpoint, that would be very, very, very cool. I'm trying to think if any GTA games have had like an actual mall you can go into, like a big, big shopping center, and I can't quite remember one. Obviously, there's lots of streets and things like that you can go to, and the houses and stuff. So that would be very cool. Limited weapon wheel like Red Dead 2. I don't think that's something that's necessary, but again, it's going to be interesting to see what Rockstar goes for like realism. Like, how realistic do you actually want to make this game? Because obviously, one of like the things, in a funny sense, have been pointed out about GTA games is like, you can hold an LMG and an RPG and, five assault rifles and two shotguns and then C4 and grenades, and all you got to do is pop it back in your jacket pocket and pull out your RPG, put that back in your pocket and get your pistol out. So, which I don't think has ever been like, detrimental to any of the games. That was a realistic touch in Red Dead 2 though, and it kind of worked. Plus the fact that with obviously a horse as your companion, you could like store weapons on them, and then that could make you carry, like, you could put your rifle on but take your bow off the horse, so you carry that instead. And it doesn't say it here, but maybe you could do something similar, because I don't expect you'll be riding horses in this game, but maybe you could store like guns in your car, maybe, and then maybe someone could steal it and you chase after them. I don't know, there's endless possibilities, we shall see. Last one here, the ability to control both main characters at the same time. I have no idea. Like, it says at the same time. I don't know how that is going to work. So in terms of, okay, these are the ones that says This leaker claims the game will have 5 story chapters. I'd say yes, that sounds about right. Fully explorable malls with hundreds of stores. I'd like to go for yes, just to see what that looks like, just from a curious kind of gameplay standpoint. So I'm going to say yes, hopefully. Limited weapon wheel like Red Dead 2. Again, if that's in there, I do hope there's other kinds of, like, you can store weapons in other places or something. Hopefully that's in there, so I'm going to say yes. The last one I kind of hope isn't in there. Now, if it's a case of, I've forgotten the two characters, Jason and Lucia. If it's a case of they go into a building together and you do what GTA 5 did, which is like, do 5 minutes in this section of this character, and then the other character's doing something else, but then you'll switch over to them and do like their part of it. Because I think, if I remember, GTA 5 did do that, and it did it pretty well from what I remember. So that would be cool. But at the same time, like, are we doing, what was that game's called? Was it Brothers in Arms or something? It was where you had these two brothers, and one was controlled with the left stick, one was with the right stick. Maybe you could do something like that, but I don't really see how, for some reason in my brain, that's just like, no, that shouldn't work that way. But we'll see what comes up in the game. So I'm going to say no to that one. What do you think of these ones?
I think it's possible. It's possible that the two people one time might be a thing, but more than likely it's probably a thing if you're not doing it as part of a group. Like, if you look at all the, I don't know what you call them anymore. They're not raids. All right. The online mission, sorry. The online missions that you do in like groups of 2 and 4, maybe right. It's a way around that, but that's about the only thing I can come up with off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's like, because GTA games have done this as well, unless it's like one of them is driving and you're using a different button to shoot. Like, you know how in those games you press, you essentially control the gun with your camera, like you point the gun out the window and it's kind of loose or whatever, but you're still driving with the left stick, and then you, I think it was like LB, you'd press and hold that, you'd like break the window, hang your arm out the window and start shooting or throwing grenades, and then you control like the aim with the camera. Unless it's that, but one character shooting and one character's driving. But in terms of them actually walking around together, I also don't know if I like the idea of that. So yeah, what do you think of the other ones?
Again, 50-50. It's not a game I'm probably gonna be playing, so I really haven't put that much thought into it.
Fair enough. All right, again, everything we just mentioned, maybe none or all of those things are in the game, or maybe completely different things are in the game. So again, those are all leaks and rumors, but people enjoy talking about leaks and rumors. Just one thing I wanted to mention, because I briefly mentioned clickbait there. Something I did last week, and I'm very particular about like the images I choose to use for podcasts, and I don't really, unless it's like resizing them or cropping certain bits out because of spoilers or other things like that, I'm very particular about what I choose to use. Now, one thing I actually did do last week, we talked about the Black Panther game, so I chose I almost chose the same thumbnails last time, but I went to choose a different one. I simply Googled Black Panther, because that's all I do, is I Google the name of the thing I want an image for, ignore all the AI images if I can, because I'm not going to use any of them, and then use just the best one that represents the thing I'm talking about, or like the best shot of something. And I saw one, I was like, oh, that's a nice, it was a nice like clean picture of Black Panther. I clicked on it, and while I wasn't even 100% sure, I clicked on it, obviously the image got bigger, and I think it was the Fortnite Black Panther. I was like, okay, we're not actually talking about, I think we might have mentioned like, oh, when you play as him in Fortnite, but that wasn't the thing we were talking about, so I chose not to use that image, because even though that wouldn't be sort of lying or clickbait or something like that, that's still not accurate to, we're not talking about the cancelled Fortnite Black Panther thing. So just to kind of explain a little bit of behind the scenes, well, not really behind the scenes, but thing on that, so. Anyway, so the news I've got for this week, I believe you've got some big stuff to talk about as well, so take it away.
Yeah, now this has been rumored for a couple of weeks, but I never really brought it up because it was just rumors, mm-hmm. but it's only stuff is getting confirmed as of today. Microsoft is doing another round of layoffs. And when I say Microsoft, I mean the company worldwide. So this isn't just Xbox, but Xbox is getting affected. The only real specifics that I have so far is that 830 workers tied to Microsoft headquarters in Redmond, Washington, got their notice today. Xbox CEO Phil Spencer said the cuts would position the video game business for enduring success and allow us to focus on strategic growth areas. There have been some hits in the gaming sphere. The Initiative, which came out with the attempt at a Perfect Dark reboot that got absolutely roasted for turning Joanna Dark into a square-headed Minecraft-looking character, but in 4K. That game has been canceled and the Initiative has been shut down, so that studio is gone. Other studios affected is Turn 10. They're not shut down, but they have been reduced in staff. I don't know what the next Forza game is or was supposed to be, but I don't know if it's like too many people, not enough people doing the right stuff. So we're getting rid of you because you're not doing your job. No real specifics there. Rare's Everwild and another unannounced MMO in development at Elder Scrolls Online Studio ZeniMax both got canceled, and there are some layoffs there. Now, the initial number does sound huge because they're doing roughly 9,000 layoffs. And yeah, that is a huge number, but I'm not downplaying that. But as a global corporation, Microsoft has 228,000 employees. So that's about 4%, give or take percentiles and decimals, which I don't want to do because that's going to get into the weeds. So in terms of percentages, it's noticeable, but not a lot. But if you look down like at the actual numbers, then yeah, that's a lot of people. So we'll just have to wait and see how everything shakes out. I'm sure there'll be more news when we finish recording today and more news tomorrow, because like I said, the initiative only got confirmed like 3 or 4 hours ago.
I saw a bunch of this come out, and I kind of assumed it would be on kind of your, because you tend to bring up more of the Xbox stuff, and I admittedly tend to focus more on the PlayStation stuff. That's kind of how we roll, how we work, I guess. So anyway, but it was interesting because I was kind of checked my phone for something at work, and then I saw this kind of pop up. And I was just cleaning away, doing what I was doing, and I started thinking about like what my thoughts were immediately on this news. And as I was kind of cleaning away and thinking about it, and waiting for some of the teachers to leave as well, and I remember, like, I don't know why this came to mind, but I guess it's to do with working in the game industry. I remember when I was like, remember when I was a kid, and you look at video games as this cool thing, and I still do now, but it's kind of this cool new thing when you're a kid as well. And you'd look at video games sometimes when you're a kid and think like, oh, wouldn't it be really cool to make one of them things? And of course, the experience between a child experiencing something and an adult experiencing something and having the knowledge are two very different things, which I'm realizing more and more as I get slowly get older. Not old yet, but I am older than I used to be. And obviously there's a lot of different sectors to the video game industry where you can work. Then they don't all do the same thing and all that kind of stuff. And I was kind of thinking, like, even though I'm not attempting to and probably never will attempt to, I looked at that and thought, like, okay, how cool video games are in of themselves, which video games are incredible things, right? They've all given us well, whatever games we all love and all like and all that sort of thing, they've given us incredible experiences, right? And we've all got our favorites and our reasons why and all that sort of thing, and that's brilliant. But I look at that now as an adult and think, unless it's me purely writing a game, so just writing the game, and I'm not a coder who could be laid off or something like that. Not saying that a writer couldn't be laid off, but Okay, if I was to work in, let's say specifically the video game industry, which the layoffs seem to be much worse in the video game industry than anywhere else, I think, okay, if I was to work in the video game industry and it was for a short time and I was going to be laid off, you might as well write a game and not be a coder in that sense. Wouldn't writing be, unless coding is something that you really, really love and you're not interested in writing games, which, again, if you were to offer me the two things, I would much rather write a game than code one because that would be more interesting to me. Because then you get to tell your own story and that sort of thing. But I looked at that overall and it was a sort of, unless you really, really, really want to work in the video game industry or you really, really, really love coding and you get the opportunity to work on a big game, which, fair enough, most of us wouldn't turn that down. You just wouldn't want to sometimes because it feels also like an industry that's just like that. You just get laid off like that. Which again does happen in other sectors. People can walk into their jobs in the morning and be told they don't have one anymore. That can happen in a lot of spaces. But yeah, especially considering, and this again, this is just the way that I look at it. If you are, because okay, I've got two, main things I do with my life, which is doing this and doing cleaning. Now, as much as I love going to the place that I work and seeing the people and talking to them, and I like a lot of them, and they've got really close to some of them and all that. This is, and I don't, when I go to do my cleaning job, it's not like, oh, I can't wait to clean the table. That's just the thing that I'm doing while I'm there, and either listening to music, listening to podcasts, or talking to the people that are there, which those three parts I enjoy. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy doing this much, much more. So it's kind of, because it's also just much more creative to sit here and make stuff and talk about stuff and all that sort of thing. But that was my reaction to that. In terms of the actual news itself, because I haven't talked about that bit yet, I did see the 9,000 number, and of course, there's a way that news can be delivered to us that seems a bit more bleak at times than what it is. And the 9,000 was the first number that I saw. Of course, there was lots of different outlets putting this out in their own words, in their own wording, and things can get misquoted and things like that. That happens all the time, so you've got to check, different sources and seeing what different people are saying. But the 9,000 was the first number that I saw, and I was like, wow, that's a lot. And it is a lot, but then of course you gave a bit of context as to the overall picture.
And let me tell you,
But
it's eating me up inside that my soundboard quit working because this is such a perfect place for Vegeta screaming over 9,000, and I can't use
damn.
it.
Yeah, we tried to. You've asked me to see if I could hear it on, I think, the last two podcasts, and I think on one of them I heard a bit of a noise, but I couldn't. You can try it if you want. I don't know if you have. Just
No, I don't have
try.
it, and
Okay.
it's one of those things that I'm gonna. I have an idea, but it's going to take a lot of effort before I get going with it.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, that was the first number that I saw, and it was kind of, you read something and you have a human reaction. The turn 10 is the one that, because they're one of Xbox's more reliable or more regular studios, right? That's the Forza studio, and they come out
Yeah,
with a
and they've
game.
always delivered
Yeah.
high quality games.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. In terms of the games that were cancelled, the Perfect Dark one is the one that sticks out to me. I remember there was a lot of, oh my God, this game is back. And to see that be kind of taken away is quite disappointing. But because the Rare games that you, I don't really remember those two. I don't remember the last time I remember seeing them. But it's a is it, this whole thing is a very big thing. And my other takeaway from it, because when you were reading through some of the IP and some of the studios, because for a long time with Xbox, it was Halo, Gears, Forza. That was like almost the trinity of Xbox. And Halo's not put out a game for a while. Gears of War was, I think, 2019 was the last one. Forza's been more regular, but I think they could do with kind of, I've described Marvel needing to do this at one point, and they slowly are. Let's say you've got like 10, 20 pieces of paper, and all of them are different IP. It's like, okay, they're all kind of scattered around the desk a bit. No one's really sure what you're doing with any of them, and there's ideas floating around. What you've got to kind of metaphorically do is pick them all up, shuffle them into a nice pile, and then be like, right, what are we doing with each of these? And like, okay, what the hell are we doing with Halo? And we renamed 343 to Halo Studios. What does that mean? Where, you know? And obviously they know more than I do, but that's what it feels like the next thing that Xbox needs to do. But I'm also curious, from an Xbox standpoint, when you talk about their IP, and of course they've gobbled up some studios over the last couple of years, you know, Bethesda, Activision being two big ones, obviously Ninja Theory and a whole host of other people, what do they consider, like, I know they kind of have the sort of, this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox, that's your platform, but you still have, you are still developing first party games, but which ones of them do they consider to be that? Like, do they, because technically now Call of Duty is an in-house first party studio developed game, but nobody's ever going to think of COD as just an Xbox game, because it comes out on PlayStation, a bunch of people play it there, it's out on PC, they tried to get it out on Switch. What do they consider that to, like, their, the games that they've got kind of close to their chest, what do they consider them to be? I don't know. Yeah, those are my takeaways. Anyway, what do you think of this situation?
Well, I mean, that's just the way the industry is moving, is less to a console and more to a platform. Because if you think back in like the 80s and 90s, there was zero cross compatibility. There was zero platform interconnectivity. That wasn't a pipe dream in anybody's
cross-play, that sort of thing.
Head. And, you know, the cartridges were physically different. So there's no way to go back and forth. If you wanted it on that platform, you had to develop it for that console, rather. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was only with the modern incarnation of what we would consider the internet and PC gaming really being the, not the standard, but the format that the other consoles programmed in. Is only then it was in that line really started to blur. And I remember, you were too young, but I remember when the first Halo game came out on the original Xbox. The original Xbox also had a network card, which was not the first of its time, because technically the Dreamcast had a built-in modem, but it was the first console that had like a built-in network card. And if you were on a campus, all those dorms were interconnected through a network. So software writers figured out a way to mod a little software, and you could be in your dorm room playing Halo, matching up with other people in your dorm room, doing death matches and whatnot. And that's really what drove the popularity of Halo, at least among that generation. It was like, hey, I can get on the campus phone, campus conference call, like eight of my buddies, we'll get on a squad and we'll take on the fifth floor, or we'll take on, you know, Reed Hall or whatever. And that became a really powerful thing. Do like a internet history rabbit hole dive into some of that, and you'll see some wild stuff. And that's what pushed gaming as an actual competition money-making thing. And this is way back in the day. And so that just kind of became a thing. And that's what really started slowly blurring the lines. If you look at PC gaming, Steam makes a metric fuck ton of money just being a sales platform. But they also do a really, really good job of protecting your rights as much as they can. Obviously, with companies like Ubisoft and whatnot, they can only do so much. But, you know, they make changes. They implement new policies. They have very low overhead outside of their server costs. They don't have a ton of staff because they don't really need a ton of staff. And they've been doing that for years. I can't remember the last time I physically bought a game at a store. The last physical game I purchased was somewhere either the Valhalla that I got because of COVID or Cyberpunk 2077 because I had that thing on pre-order forever and I kind of forgot about it.
I'm trying to remember the last physical game I bought in a shop. It wasn't this year. I don't think it was last year. No, it's escaping me. I don't
Yeah.
remember. Yeah. But yeah, that's the Microsoft situation at the moment. And as I said, I think they need to shuffle the deck a bit and kind of figure out what they're doing with their games. Obviously, they have games in development that are coming up and things, but yeah.
And also, I think a part of it is because so many of their games have flopped hard. Now, both the first party and the ones that they were like co-developing, like South of Midnight, wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. Flintlock, or whatever that one game was
Oh
called,
yeah.
that one bombed. Redfall bombed. Starfield did okay. It hit like 200K or something concurrent on Steam at one point, so I won't call that a flop.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't do what they wanted it to do because, we're what, almost a year past the last DLC and the game has been radio silent.
Yeah.
Although I did find it interesting in the article, they did specifically mention that Undead Labs was not affected, which does not affect the development of State of Decay 3. So I was a tiny little bit happy about that, but that's
That's
just
good,
my fanboy showing,
yeah.
which I will always fully cop to.
Yeah.
If I'm fanboying over something, I will cop to it.
Oh, just to reference what I said earlier, I'm full aware of that I'm a Last of Us fanboy, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna be, every single inch of this thing is a 10 out of 10, because,
Oh no, yeah.
yeah. So, you could be a fanboy of something and admit it, but still, see the flaws when you can see the flaws. So, yeah. You actually just reminded me that South of Midnight existed because I was looking forward to that game, and that's the only reason I haven't played it yet, because I kind of forgot that it came out. So, plus I don't really go on Game Pass that much, and it's not had a physical release yet, so that's one for me to look at actually. Yeah, so thanks for reminding me. Because I gave it in my own positive way, like comparisons to Forspoken and stuff. So, curious about that one. Did you play? I can't remember if you said you did.
I don't have a Game Pass.
Oh,
I
right.
haven't had that for a while.
Yeah.
So if it's a game that reviews well from the people that I follow, that I have a perspective on for reviews, then I will pick it up as a purchase, because that's what I did with Expedition 33. I just straight up bought it.
Yeah.
Best $50 I've spent this year. 1000% my game of the year, no questions asked. And we are spoiled with double A games being awesome this year because we started off with Split Fiction. I could easily see that game as a dark horse for game of the year. We got Expedition 33. Wouldn't technically count the Oblivion remaster because that was a bigger studio, but it was a smaller team that did it. So that one could kind of fall in the gaps. But yeah, just those three games this year alone were reasons why Double A studios are absolutely crushing the last couple of years.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I'm gonna look into Game Pass again and try and play that game because I was looking forward to it. So, yeah. All right, what else do you want to talk about today?
Well, we got more along the lines of yeeting at corporations. This one involves Krafton, which made Subnautica and is currently developing Subnautica 2. The top hat of the company is gone. Now, when I say the top hat, the Subnautica designer and director, Charlie Cleveland, chief executive officer, Ted Gill, and co-founder, Max McGuire, have all bounced. They're gone. Steve Papoutis, formerly of Visceral Games, and most recently the CEO of Striking Distance Studio, which made the Callisto Protocol, has been brought in as the new CEO of
Oh.
Unknown Worlds, quote, effective immediately. The clipped corporate tones of the press release suggests some serious background tensions, but the real question is what is this going to do for development of Subnautica 2, which is supposed to have either an open beta release or an early access release this year, but that now is being brought into question. Quote from the new Krafton CEO. I'm not even going to try that one. There's nothing more important than the greater game experience. Given the anticipation around Subnautica 2, we owe our players nothing less than the best possible game as soon as possible. We are thrilled Steve is joining us in our shared commitment at Krafton and Unknown Worlds to deliver Subnautica 2 and more complete, satisfying entry into the series. Now, did you ever play Subnautica?
No, I think that was more David's. I think he's more into those kinds of games. So, but when you were reading some of that stuff out, you said Callisto Protocol, and my brain panicked. So, because you know how I feel about that game. That doesn't mean that this next part of this thing is going to be as bad as Callisto Protocol. But yeah, sometimes you say the name of certain things, and my brain does something. So,
Well, the game's been in development for a while, and he's only coming in as a CEO. So, unless he forces the game to launch in a broken state, he's really not going to have that much of an effect on it.
good, good. So hopefully, if the game has a final level, they won't have it so that you can run out of ammo. So, I still couldn't believe that the first time I played that level. I was like, "Wait, where's all the ammo gone? Oh, there's none left. Should I try melee attacks? Oh, that doesn't kill the enemy. What do I do? Run around for another 5 minutes trying to figure it out. Oh, I think I have to restart the level because there's no way past this bit. So yeah." I wasn't smiling and laughing about it at the time, believe me. So, it was also one of them like late nights where I was like, okay, I'm ready to review this game and just say what I want to say. So, like, I know this is the final bit, so let me just finish this off and just whatever happens in the last cutscene happens, and then I'm just gonna get on the mic and talk about it. So, yeah. But yeah, best of luck to these people, and hope that this new situation goes well. So, but I've got no personal stake in the game, so I technically won't be happy or disappointed either way because I probably won't be playing the game, but hopefully it goes well. But yeah, more studio departures and stuff, which again, just as same as before, just because some people leave things sometimes, it doesn't always automatically mean the worst. It just depends on the situation. So I know that again, you hear about a big name leaving something, like again with Hallie and Neil leaving the writing on Last of Us, and it's like, oh shit, we all need to panic. Which again, the internet is very flammable. So, anyway, what do you think of this situation?
I think it's one of those things that you have that high level of positions all leaving at the same time. That's one of those where I want to be a fly on the wall and listen and see what's actually going on because you
Yeah.
know there is some hardcore bullshit going on somewhere with somebody doing something they should or should not be doing. So, but past that, I mean, obviously it's going to delay the game. Not from like a programming standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint, because there's going to be confusion for a few weeks on who does what with who.
Certainly. All right, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, the last thing that I have, Nintendo is fully embracing its villain arc this year.
Oh, yeah.
As you know, it launched the Switch 2 to a very controversial and draconic end user license agreement to where if you do something they don't like, they'll brick your console. Now if you were doing like modding or game hacks and what, and they locked your account, that's one thing. I'm fine with that. But bricking the console, especially when it can't be unbricked at all, I have a serious problem with.
Me too.
Because you're buying the hardware. And, maybe they screw something up. Like, I just saw a story yesterday. A guy had like multiple users on his Switch too. It was like him and his kid sister and her friend, and the kid sister changed her username, and that bricked the console. And he went through Nintendo Help, which was utterly useless, and they told him just to take the bricked device back to the store for an exchange, which he said, "I have to because I need to use this device, but I don't want to do it because I bought it at GameStop, and GameStop's already been busted several times repackaging and selling bricked consoles.
Oh,
They're
nasty.
not a very good company, in any sense of the world,
That's
in
what I hear.
word."
Yeah.
But now the shit has finally hit the fan in that they are facing a lawsuit. But this isn't some ineffective lawsuit. This is coming from the country of Brazil. The Brazilian Consumer Protection and Defense Program Office, based in São Paulo, Brazil, has requested Nintendo make changes to the end user license agreement. The government watchdog authority says that clauses within the EULA are, quote, abusive towards Brazilian consumers who purchase the new handheld, claiming that it includes unilateral calculations and without justifications or subscriptions to the company's service. And they are very much on the nose on that one. Like I said before, several users have reported that their devices have been locked for something as simple as, changing your username. The government has given Nintendo 20 days to respond to the challenge, and Nintendo is probably going to fight this because that's what they do. They sue and destroy everybody. But when it comes to that, you tend not to win against governments. I mean, there's always the occasional outlier, most recently with Microsoft and the FTC, but that was way more due to FTC incompetence rather than Microsoft being in the right on anything. But Brazil is very much in the right of consumer protection for this, and Nintendo hopefully will get the smackdown it deserves on this.
Like changing the name of the account and having that happening is completely outrageous. You also mentioned if you like mod the console, which to me literally means that you can't make the Joy-Cons better, which I'm not gonna go over that in a jokey way again because this is not a jokey topic, but most of you know how I feel about the Joy-Cons. But yeah, Nintendo's been kind of, ever since, you know what, ever since, you know, when I came on this podcast and it was after one of their directs last year, and I was like, hey, I'm kind of not interested in this library of games anymore. Not that I dislike them or I think they're bad or anything like that. It's just, okay, what you're serving up just, okay, it might be interesting to other people, and that's great. But it just it is no it no longer did anything for me, and I think that was actually a case for a bit of time, but that was the point where I kind of realized it properly, and just ever since then. And then it was like the reveal of those games, that wasn't disappointing, it was just kind of eh, I'm not really just not really interested in anything here. And then it was kind of Switch 2 reveal, I don't think that went well, I wasn't impressed with anything there. I don't even think the thing should be called a Switch 2. It just looks like a. It doesn't even look like a Switch Pro. It just looks like a different model of it. There doesn't look to me like there's any actual. Okay, apart from the kickstand, but then the kickstand should have been better on the first one. There was like no genuine improvements there. And granted, I've not had a Switch 2 in my hand, and I've not played games on it, so it could be better than what I think. But. Just, yeah, ever since then, and then there was the whole, just, you know, online stuff that they've done, and voice chat things, and just everything else. They just keep going down in my estimation. So, yeah, it's been, and it's not like I don't have particular personal stake in them anymore. So if they get worse, it won't affect me, which. It's still not okay because, again, they're still doing things like this to other people, which is not okay. Just because it's not happening to me doesn't mean it's okay. So, Yeah, that's my thoughts on that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I haven't turned on my Switch and I don't know how
I'm
long.
not sure where mine actually is, but I do need to find it.
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly where it is. I'm looking straight at it. It's still plugged into my TV, but I haven't played a game on it since December. And that's just because I was traveling. I had a couple hours to kill at the airport and then, flight in, flight back. So that's the last time I played it.
I need to sell mine as soon as I can, really, because I honestly don't plan on. I already like formatted it and cleaned it off. I just need to, and I need to do that sooner rather than later. Otherwise, the I mean, in terms of resale value, I know I'm not going to get obviously more than I got for it, but I want something decent for it, and then I'll just let it go because I think the last game I played on it was Tears of the Kingdom, which I didn't finish, but I'm no longer interested in finishing it, which was what, 2023, I want to say. I think it is. It should still be in this room, although I can't. Actually, I'm not going to go turning my head around or whatever. But I'll find it. I'll probably, when we get our half term break and I have more time, I'll take it with me into town and try and sell it again. So, and that'll be that. But anyway, I don't feel like I'll be missing it because I'm not using it right now. I haven't even seen it for a while, and I don't miss it anyway. So, there we go. But if I want to go back and boot up like older Nintendo games, I still have my beloved GameCube. I love that thing. It's still been working for years. And I can go back and use that. So,
Yeah, and
anyway.
all the games that I kind of want to play, their companies are going multi-platform now. Final Fantasy Tactics is coming to Steam. Dragon Warrior, aka the original game they came up with, that's coming to Steam. Technically, 3's already on it. 1 and 2 is a combo. Are available for purchase, but their game's not launching till October 30th. And the Steam Summer Game Sale is going on right now. So if I wanted to get something like Skyrim, it's $10. I probably wouldn't. I've played that game a dozen times when it's been on a free play weekend, and I always just get lost. It's a one of those games that I say your game can be too big and too open world.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta lock it up.
True. Right, you said that's the last thing you've got? I think you did.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to some feedback emails. We have a continuation, a sequel, if you will, from last week. But if you'd like to write into the show, let us know what you're playing. Do you like what you're playing? Hopefully you do, because I want you to enjoy what you're playing. Let us know what it is. If you don't enjoy what you're playing, tell us what it is and we can talk about that as well. Any of your thoughts on the Naughty Dog stuff? Do you think the GTA yes and no's are yes and no, or whatever else? Let us know your thoughts on those and everything else that we've have discussed here. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, and social media is eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Harry returns and says, "Hey guys, thanks for the suggestions. I liked what you both said about suggestions. I ended up getting a PS5 just to be able to get newer games, as well as a cheaper PSVR 1 unit. My son's been enjoying Rescue Mission, but sometimes the light doesn't get tracked properly. We have two controllers and he has his own account with protection. We've been playing some other games too." So this is where we were both asked about what his son should play, what he should play, and I also recommended Adolescence for various reasons as well. On the light thing, I remember when I was wrapping up my time with PSVR because I sort of ran out of games to play on it because obviously the new ones were coming out on VR too. And I think the last two I played was the LA Noire game, which is very good. And then I got the Platinum for Full Rescue Mission. And yeah, there was a couple of times in both those games. And with the LA Noire one, it's the two controllers, and then with Astro Bot, it's the controller with the tracked DualSense, not DualSense, DualShock Lite. And I found problems with that as well. It's essentially just if the camera can't distinguish your controller light from the light the light in your room, it won't track it properly. And I found that even if I did close my curtains and stuff, because that's where the camera was pointing at, if it was still a bit too bright during the day, it would like not track it properly, and it would throw things about. So that kind of sucked a bit, but I got what I wanted to in the end from those. So yeah, you basically just have to make the room as dark as possible, unfortunately. It's old tech. I mean, I think the Move controllers go back to like the PS3 or something, with the PS3 camera. I don't think it was the iToy. It was the one after the iToy, so it still uses kind of old tech. So and those controllers today are still kind of expensive, the Move controllers. But glad you're enjoying Astrobot. Let us know obviously like the other stuff that you're playing. Let me know if indeed you did look up anything about adolescence or where you're at with that, or if you're watching it or whatever the case may be. Because I remember you recommended like, okay, the dad here actually checked that out first and then watch it with their son, which was smarter than what I suggested, but still. So, anyway, what do you think of the follow-up here?
Yeah, I think it's good. Something I didn't think about until after the fact would have been to have your son talk to his friends and see what platforms they use, because that's half the experience nowadays
I did not think
with
of that
video
either.
games is playing with your friends.
Yeah.
Because you run into that with COD, where they're all in different games, and then imagine that spread out to where they're all on different consoles. Not everybody can do cross-platform games. Some can and choose not to, so.
But yeah, it's been nice with that in the thing since Modern Warfare 19, where it's like I meet people who are on PC and on Xbox as well, or on PC with controller or vice versa or whatever. So that's been very cool. But yeah, let us know the other stuff that you're playing. Tell us as much as you feel comfortable with, whatever that may be. So, 'cause that's the one thing I always go by in life, no matter what I'm talking to somebody about. It's like, okay, I'm not trying to force you or anybody to like tell me something they don't want to, because I would hate to be in that position myself. So, yeah, tell us what you want to and what sort of thing. It's good that you've added protections and stuff as well. I imagine there's various. I mean, I don't look into any of that because I don't have kids on the console, but I mean, I have like a password and a passcode and that. I have that sort of account protection and things, and the older two, is it 2FA? I think that's the short word for it. You got those are kind of standard things to have, but I assume you mean like age rating stuff and all that. So yeah, let us know how it continues to go, and hopefully both you and your son really enjoy Astrobot, because it's just, but all three games are just an absolute delight. So particularly Astrobot itself. Tyler simply says, Matt, any thoughts on Lies of P Overture? So he's talking about the prequel, apparently, DLC. Well, not apparently, it is a prequel. I've seen bits on it. I am in a few different like Lies of P communities. I've tried to kind of avoid them a little bit just because of spoilers and stuff. Although I've seen some out of context spoilers that I know which characters they're talking about, but I don't know what they've talked about. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm gonna figure that out eventually. I will at least consume the story there in some way, shape, or form, because I'm very curious to see how they've done a prequel with it. But again, I still just, bit of a bugaboo, I still just don't really understand why you did the damaged Stargazer from Chapter 9, because that's a lot of bosses to go through, and some of them pretty difficult, especially like the swamp monster and all that sort of thing. There's a lot to go through there. So love for people on New Game Plus and things like that. So anyway, yeah, I've seen some bits. I've seen like the trailers. I've seen snippets of gameplay. Like I've seen a few of the yeah, just lots of different bits and pieces, but I don't have, I deliberately don't have context for any of it yet. So I'm not guaranteeing I will play that because of various reasons, but I will at least watch the story for it and see what's going on, because I still love the story as well. I think it's fantastic. So there we go. And then Harrison writes in lastly and says, so Rob, what do you think Matt would like about Expedition 33?
Oh, that's a hard one. What I think he would like most is how much influence other games were while the game still maintains its own identity. Like the combat UI is sorry, hang on a second. Web page just started blaring on me, which
Okay.
obviously you're not going to be able to hear, so but anyway, the combat UI is very heavily focused, very heavily influenced from Persona in the style.
Okay.
The characters are very heavily influenced from aspects of Final Fantasy in general, not for one specific game.
Right,
Like
right.
there's a character you meet halfway through Act Two that is a blue mage, and they take everything that's good about blue mages, and that is that character. Because he casts blue mage magic. He is a literal monster from the one FF game. He can transform into other monsters from the other FF game, but he doesn't have to eat them, or you don't have to deal with all that bull crap of whittling the one monster down that you want and then have the character try to eat them. And they're just like, I don't like the taste of that. And then you don't get the ability. And if you've played all the Final Fantasy games, you know who I'm talking about. But the character's personality, as I've talked about before, is very unique, but it's also influenced by the French comic Asterix and Obelisk. And if you're familiar with that comic or the live action movie or the theme park apparently that exists, because the character is very much influenced by Obelisk in his love of fighting. And then the game style is also influenced by not Marionette, what's the term I'm looking for? The overworld map very much is kind of a diorama. That's the word I'm looking for, is diorama of the world. But then when you're in the zones, it's very much, third person over the shoulder, open exploration to the point that you can. If you're a Dark Souls fan, then a lot of the single boss combats are heavily influenced by Dark Souls in that, their health bar is a mile long, and you got to do 100, 47 dodges and parries and whatnot. But it's all turn-based, so it doesn't have the frantic run around in a circle for 5 minutes, then get one hit in, and then run around a circle in the
I'm
other
familiar with
direction for
that.
five minutes. It's a lot more focused than that, but it's still, it's like this one fight that keeps popping up in my shorts feed is a boss character named Simon. That's not going to spoil anything. And it does like 15 attacks, and they're just like parry, 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 parry. And then you get all 15, and then it counterattacks,
Nice.
and then you get to go. So there's that Dark Souls influence. So there's a lot of influences in that. And as I have talked about ad nauseum, the music, oh my God, I could literally just start the game, go into base camp, play one of the records I found, and then just walk away and just listen to that music for hours on end.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, sometimes with the just to reference the running around stuff, when I was obviously Lies of P is my main reference for that. Again, I've tried like Demon Souls and some other ones, but Lies of the P was the one that stuck with me. I find sometimes with that it's like, okay, I know what this boss is doing, but it's doing things very quickly. I can't quite think straight, so I'm gonna run, not because I'm necessarily scared, although I am, but just so I can think about what to do next.
Yep.
So yeah.
And then in the game mechanics, you go cross-eyed real quick because you get skills that you pay, with points, and then you get collectibles called Pictos, which give you bonuses to certain actions you take. You can equip three as a max, and then you every time you gain level and you can find collectibles where you increase your points of Lumina. And then if you win four battles with a Pictos equipped, it becomes usable by everybody through your Lumina points. And you get to a point to where you've got three Pictos equipped, but you've got 15 connected to you through your Lumina. And then you're going through your stats. It's like, well, if I parry if I do a perfect parry, I can heal, and I can also get an action point, and I can also give healing to everybody else in the party. And like I said, you get it's that meme of just equations constantly floating around in your head, trying to do the math of I can equip this with this weapon and get this buff and get this thing. And you, for the bigger bosses, like for the chromatic Nevrons and the ultimate bosses, you need that interaction because you will die in 5 seconds if you don't have that. Because I actually had one character, wasn't even maxed out, wasn't even level 60, but I had this weirdly perfect combination of weapon and Pictos and buffs to where I could do a stack buff on the enemy, and then I do an attack on that stack buff to where it does damage, and then I get half health. But my character was so stacked out in the right direction, my health that I was getting back was literally twice of my max HP, and then I was sending 25% of that to each party member. So on a DPS build character, I was accidentally a main healer, healing like 9,000 points of HP between the three characters on a single attack that also did 18,000 points of damage to the enemy. And
Nice.
that's just one of like, it gets like super deep into that. I know a lot of JRPGs have had that, like crystal unlock, skill unlock, double buff unlock, and it kind of gets into the weeds on that. And I don't even use like half of them because they don't really come into play a lot, because there's some to where they only work if you're a solo party member. So if you're one of these masochists or hardcore gamers that want to solo all the bosses, obviously those are very helpful. But if you're not, you're probably not going to want to be in a position to where you're a solo character, because that means two-thirds of your party is dead.
All right. I have a suggestion. You clearly have a lot of opinions and thoughts on this game, which is awesome to hear about. I don't know how up for it you would be, and it's your choice. I'm just making a suggestion. If you reviewed this game for Entertainment Talk, but on your own, not that I won't be playing it later and review it, but you finished it and all that sort of thing.
I've actually thought about that, but I honestly can't think of anything to say that hasn't already been said by 50 other people.
That's a
And I hate being derivative.
that's perfectly fine. That's. I don't see that as a problem, but because what we could do is, like obviously if you send it to me for editing and uploading and posting and stuff, not that I would comb through it and edit out your own words or whatever, they're your words, but I would simply put by and then your name instead of mine so people know it's your review and not mine. You pick something from the rating system and then a number, but you do it off your, obviously your judgment and not. Like, you don't have to follow that in the same way that I do, but pick something from that. And then the only rule in quotes I would give you is if you do it spoiler free, spoiler split, put a break in the middle when spoilers in the second half. But for the outro and intro, you can do whatever you want. Like you don't have to do the exact same outro that I do or whatever. Obviously say like, hey, I'm here to talk about this. My name's this. We'll start off spoiler free and then do it that way. And I don't mean you have to do that like this week or something. You can do it entirely in your own time and whenever you want to. And then would you be able to send it on here? I think you can send it on here, can't you? On
Yeah, I can send it. I can send it as a file in Teams.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just have a think about it and let me know because I would be interested in listening to it as well and seeing all the stuff you have to say, and then once I finish the game, I would obviously then listen to the spoiler section. So yeah, we'll see what we come up with for that because I think that would be cool. All right, speaking of podcasts, that is the end of this one. We have reached the end of another one. I did realize, by the way, because I've had a lot of stuff going on this year. Not going to get into all of it because that's going to take me ages. We've kind of gone well past episode 400, and I've not, again, because of various different recent stuff and personal stuff and whatever else, have had episode 400 on my mind. I still want to do the same thing, but I've still not messaged the person yet. Again, I've been busy among other things. So I still have that in mind. We will still try to do that. It's just a case of when my brain allows me to take the time to set that up. So, because I think this is 4:17. So I know we've kind of flown past that, but I still want to do the same thing. So, I know I keep saying the kind of, hey, more on that when there's more on that, but that's just the truth. So, anyway, look out for that at some point in the future, as well as all of our other podcasts, which you can find on entertainmenttalk.org, for TV, games, films, and Mary Night podcasts. I'll have some video game reviews of my own newer ones soon as well. So again, we'll see what we come up with maybe doing a thing for Robert, and then if I play any new games at any point, who knows? Maybe I enjoy and finish Mind's Eye. I have no idea if I'm going to enjoy that game or what will happen, so we'll talk about that soon. I'll at least give, providing I play at least a chunk of it between now and next podcast, which is likely, I'll at least talk about that. So, got that going on. Got the Refresh Breaking Bad podcast coming out. We've got obviously film reviews. We're about to get more films. We're about to get another Jurassic film, then Superman, then Fantastic Four, and of course, there's also Elio and things like Sinners. And 28 Years Later, so a bunch of those recently, so check those out. Last of Us podcast, there's always some of those floating around, so check those out. United Cast is back on the shelf for now, but you can still go and check out the Who Should Stay, Who Should Go podcast, as well as the season wrap up. So there's that going on. That'll be back in August, which I just realized is next month. So there's that to look out for. And then, yeah, other stuff if and when it comes up. I do have a bunch of stuff I want to talk about for a political talk episode because, yeah, there's a lot going on there as well. But I have not been in the right, like, headspace or energy remotely to do that or really had the time necessarily. So. But not that any of those things are going to be concluded anytime soon. So it's not like it's going to be out of date per se. But there's a lot to talk about over there. So I'll do that at some point. So yeah, anyway, just keep your eyes out on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms. Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, and Mary and I podcasts. If you want to support what we do, which would be great, you can simply listen to more episodes either on the site or the podcast platforms, which I'm guessing you found one of those two things, which is how you're listening to me right now. So check that out. Word of mouth, social media. You can tell people about what we're doing, where they can find it. And if they've mentioned something we podcasted on, you can tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. Geektown Radio might be on a hiatus right now, but you can still go to geektown.co.uk and get your latest TV and film news. David is on holiday. So that's why they're not Geektown Radio episodes right now. So you can check that out. And then you can also head over to YouTube for Entertainment Talk Plays for all of our video game stuff, clips, some streams, and all that sort of thing. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.